This sermon was recorded at Christ Church Mission, a congregation that seeks to be a people fully alive in God's kingdom.
This is a reading from the book of John. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. All right. Good morning again. As I mentioned earlier, this is Good Shepherd Sunday. It's not like an official feast day in the Christian calendar, but it's a tradition of reading from John 10, the passage that I just read, every fourth Sunday of Easter. For whatever reason, the church has this tradition, and so that happens every year. There's a three-year cycle of readings, but every year the reading is from John 10, and we kind of reflect on the biblical motif as God as our shepherd, and so that's what today is. And I think it's an important biblical motif, shepherd and sheep. Many times in both Old Testament and New Testament scriptures, God refers to himself as shepherd and his people as sheep. Here's just a few, just to give you a little sampling. It says Matthew 9 at the top, when Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then go back to the Old Testament, Isaiah 40. He tends to his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young, the flock, the shepherd, the lambs, all of it. Then another one from Isaiah 53. We all, a very familiar passage to some of us, we all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. It's just littered throughout all of the Bible, this motif of sheep and shepherd. And then, of course, we have Psalm 23. Let me see that back up there, Evie. This one that's very familiar, maybe the most famous passage of Scripture ever. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. Or probably the way that many of us learned it, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Which I think Jenny has told me that was confusing to her as a child. Like, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Like, he's the shepherd that I don't want. And I think... we all feel like that sometimes, don't we? Okay. It's a significant biblical motif, and this sheep and shepherd thing, and I'm going to dig in especially to this passage from John 10. But on its face, you get it, you know? Like, the metaphor is pretty straightforward. We are the sheep. Sheep, I hear, are not terribly intelligent animals. They often get lost. They're helpless. I found this story about a sheep that got lost in New Zealand. Can I see the picture of that sheep? This is this guy on the left. Yep. This is the sheep named Barak, or Ba-Rak, apparently. I did not name that sheep, but that is his name. Was lost for a very long time and then eventually discovered and sheared, and in that one shearing produced enough wool to make 30 sweaters, apparently. And so he was in bad shape by the time that they found him. But that's, that's sheep for you, you know. They get lost. They're vulnerable. They're hard-headed, I hear. You get the idea. We are the sheep in that metaphor. And Jesus is the good shepherd, and he's tender and patient and protective and caring. And many of us are familiar with that basic idea of sheep and shepherd. We're the sheep, he's the shepherd. We listen to his voice and we follow him, and he calls to us and he leads us and he knows us. And if you've been a Christian for very long at all, you've probably seen a whole smattering of art, or shall I say art? I don't know. I don't want to be rude. But, you know, like depicting this motif, right? The sheep and shepherd. Does anyone, let me put it this way, does anybody in their home right now, or did you grow up in a home that had some depiction of like the sheep and shepherd Christian art? Show of hands, anyone? Yes, absolutely. It's a beloved symbol, and it's a sweet symbol. And I even have this, I have these like this stationery card, like these little cards that I sometimes write notes on. And on the front is Jesus, and he's holding a little lamb. And I sometimes like to write cards to parishioners and stuff. And I really like to send those to like maybe our more burly, you know, manly parishioners, because clearly the metaphor is that this person is the little lamb in Jesus's arm. And I like to picture our, you know, big tough guys as little lambs in Jesus's loving arms, you know? I've always found the sentimentality around the shepherd sheep thing, sure, a bit cheesy, but also kind of endearing, honestly. It turns out I kind of like sheep, I've found throughout my life. I'm drawn to this biblical motif, so much so that in college, I dug up an old picture. In college, I dressed as a sheep one Halloween. This is me. This is freshman year, I think. It was a coincidence that Hannibal Lecter was also there, but I made this costume and, you know, I was a dork, whatever. I get it. So, yeah, You can kill that. Thank you. That's enough. Yeah. Okay. Sheep and shepherd is a very important symbol in the Bible. One that is trying to get across a very important aspect of our relationship with God. It's a symbol that isn't super familiar probably to many of us with our modern and suburban, you know, sensibilities. But it was very relatable to Jesus' day, which is why you see it scattered all throughout the Bible. It was a good way for those, for the people of God early on to get a good picture, to get their heads around the way that God loved them and cared for them. And so maybe you connect with that sheep shepherd metaphor already. Maybe that's a beloved way that you relate to God. Great. Maybe not. Well, this morning, I want to try to show you, particularly those of you who are not moved by the sentimentality of that image. You know, if you think it's sweet, but it doesn't, like, do a lot for you, then maybe this sermon is particularly geared to you. What I want to try to show is that this picture about the sheep and the shepherd that Jesus gives us, it isn't just sweet. It is that. And it isn't just moving at an emotional level spiritually, which it is that, but it also is crucially theological. Jesus isn't just trying to give us like some warm fuzzies about our spirituality and his care for us in this picture of the sheep and the shepherd. Jesus is trying to convey to us some of the most important theological tenets of the gospel by using this picture. That's what I want to make the case for today. It's not just about tenderness and care. It is that, but it also offers a truth for our minds to understand God and the kingdom of God and our place in it, okay? So the way that I want to do that is I want to cover some of the less familiar characters in that story that we just read from John chapter 10. If you're paying close attention, of course, we know about the sheep and the shepherd, and I've already talked about who those people are in the metaphor, but did you notice that there are other characters in this little parable that Jesus tells? The other characters this morning that I'm going to talk about are the wolf, the hired hand, and the other sheep, okay? So I think that might help kind of round out the whole picture of the sheep and the shepherd. So let's start with the wolf. The wolf. Because without the wolf, do we even need a shepherd? We might wander off for a bit, but if there's no real danger out there, then who cares? We'll make our way back eventually with 30 pairs of sweaters worth of wool, you know? But Jesus is saying, no, you can't graze the countryside carefree because there's a wolf out there. One of the main points that Jesus is trying to make with this sheep shepherd motif is the danger that we are in. He, as our shepherd, means to protect us from something. So who or what is it that he is protecting us from? What is the wolf that threatens the sheep? You know, picture in your mind's eye, you know, those sheep, flock of sheep out on the plains, but there is an unseen wolf lurking about, stalking that flock. What is it? What does Jesus mean here? Well, he doesn't connect that dot for us explicitly in the passage, but with just a little bit of work, I think when we can infer it clearly. Whatever the wolf is that stalks the flock, it cannot be the difficult circumstances that we face in our daily lives. It can't be our daily troubles. It can't even be the bigger trials that we go through as Christians. And the way that we know that is because whatever the wolf is in this passage is so dangerous and so powerful and so vicious that the only way for the sheep to be saved, the passage says, is for the shepherd to lay down his life for the sheep. The only way that the sheep can be protected from the wolf is for the shepherd to lay down his life, to offer himself to quench the appetite of the wolf. Jesus says here that when the wolf attacks, the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep, to protect the sheep. That's how serious the danger of the wolf is. It's not just a nuisance, and it's not just a daily trial. Now, to be clear, Jesus cares very much about those things too. You know, and I think especially Psalm 23 shows us that, you know, his rod and his staff, they comfort me. You know, like he does want to protect us from daily strife. He leads me beside quiet waters. He wants to give us this daily peace and experience. The shepherd does tend to all the needs of the sheep, but that's not what Jesus means here, I don't think. When he talks about the wolf, he means something specific. The wolf is different, and the danger of the wolf is more ultimate. So what in this world is so dangerous that the only way we can be saved from it is for the shepherd to lay down his life? Well, while the people of that day probably couldn't put those puzzle pieces together, we, now 2,000 years later, know exactly what the wolf was. The wolf, in this metaphor, is sin and the effects of sin, the brokenness in us and like all the fruit, the terrible fruit that is born from it, including death. The wolf is sin. Jesus is teaching us things here, remember? He's not just making us feel warm fuzzies. He's telling us something that's true about ourselves and his kingdom. And I find it helpful to think about the wolf in these, or to think about sin in terms like a wolf, because for me, it's helpful to think about sin not just as being a condition that we find ourselves in, which it is that, but also sometimes sin feels like an experience, you know, it feels like a force that is just as much acting on us as it is like our natural state. It often feels like it's coming for us, and the danger of sin is real. And just as the sheep is with the wolf, we are powerless against sin. We're powerless against it. Just like a sheep can't fend off a wolf, neither can we fend off sin, not ultimately. Just like a sheep can't run faster than a wolf, we can't run faster than sin, not ultimately. We aren't just a little bit weaker than it. We are helpless against its ultimate power to destroy us. We are sheep, and sin is a wolf. And so for the only way for the wolf to be defeated is for the good shepherd to lay down his life for the sheep. He satisfies the appetite of the hungry wolf for us. The good news of the gospel isn't that Jesus makes you stronger than the wolf. The gospel is that Jesus saves you completely from the destructive powers of sin now and for eternity. And this was, of course, accomplished in the crucifixion, resurrection of Jesus. He gave himself sacrificially to the hunger of the wolf so that sin and its effects are satisfied completely. The danger of the wolf is behind us. They have no more ultimate or eternal power for those who are in the care of the shepherd. Sin and death are no longer a threat because the appetite has been quenched. And our main action as sheep then is to stay near to the shepherd, to live in his care, to not stray too far out from his protection where he can't help us. The good shepherd lays down his life for us, defeating the wolf of sin. And when we draw near to him, we find safety in him. So that's the wolf in the metaphor. The next character that I want to talk about is the hired hand. The hired hand. In this passage, Jesus juxtaposes the care of the good shepherd with someone that he calls a hired hand. Just to reread the passage, it says this over on the right-hand side. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and he cares nothing for the sheep. So again, what is Jesus referring to here in this complex parable? Who is the hired hand? Again, unlike the sheep that hear his tender voice, there's something more theological that's happening here. Well, I think that in the very least, what Jesus is referring to are the religious leaders that were also present as Jesus was teaching people about the sheep and the shepherd. These self-righteous leaders were teaching that sin, the wolf, could be defeated by legalism and morality, that the kingdom of God was for those who could muster up their own power against sin. Those leaders were convinced that they, and mostly only they, were actually stronger than the wolf of sin. And their message was that safety from the wolf could be attained by those who were either born into that safety or who could, like, work hard enough to earn safety from the wolf. They were about privilege and self-righteousness, and they needed no good shepherd. They were the hired hands. They were wrong, of course. They themselves were being devoured by the effects of the wolf from the inside out, and they were leading many people down their destructive path. They were the hired hands, and when push came to shove, they did not care much for the sheep. But is that all of what Jesus meant when he referred to the hired hands? I don't think so, because I don't think he was particularly had a gripe only against those religious leaders who were present that day. What Jesus was critiquing was their paradigm for dealing with the wolf. Their whole shtick, their whole worldview that they applied to the shepherd sheep motif. A hired hand, I think Jesus would say, is anyone other than the good shepherd that we, the sheep, kind of commit ourselves into the hands of, anything that we look for safety and guidance for other than the good shepherd. So what is it that we find ourselves looking to protect us from the power of the wolf, sin? Well, I think probably as Western individualists, the top answer for many of us would be we just look to ourselves. We hire ourselves as the hired hands for our own sheepness. We hope to self-manage our sin. We try to keep it contained and private. We try to deny it altogether in many cases and say, no, there's nothing to see here, no problems. There is no wolf or sin in here in my heart or mind. That's some hired hand philosophy right there, because if and when the wolf comes, it's not going to be helpful for us. What about, do any of you have a deeply entrenched political paradigm? Don't raise your hands, please. But it's getting to be that time of year, you know? And that's fine, but sometimes those things, when they're deeply entrenched, can become so big in our lives that we start to treat them almost like hired hands. Like, this is the way that my life and the world is going to be rescued from its perils, is if this paradigm prevails. That's some hired hand stuff. And it might be helpful at times to, you know, but it ultimately it won't and it can't take down the wolf. So we just need to remember that. I feel like just about everything that keeps us up at night is a hired hand that we have employed to watch over us. But the hope for the safety of each individual sheep and for the flock as a whole is the Good Shepherd. Those hired hands care nothing for you. They don't care about you. You're serving them more than they're serving you. But the Good Shepherd does. Unlike the hired hand, you are actually his. You belong to him. Okay, lastly, let's talk about what Jesus calls the other sheep. There's this strange verse nestled in this passage about the other sheep. Let me see if I can find it on the passage here. Right in the middle. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen, Jesus says. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. Other sheep. Who are these other sheep, Jesus? Turns out that this isn't just a story about you and Jesus, you the sheep, you the sweet lamb in Jesus' loving arms. It's not even about us, the sheep, the flock, and Jesus. It turns out that this story is about other sheep also. And we know that at least in part what Jesus is referring to here is the fact that all nations, not just the Hebrew people, would be welcomed into Jesus' flock and acknowledge him as shepherd, and he would acknowledge them by name as sheep. Jesus embodied that in every aspect of his ministry. He was preaching to and hanging out and doing ministry with Greeks and women and poor and disabled and all those who thought that they belonged outside of the sheep pen. He was welcoming them all in. You're welcome in this flock, Jesus said. You too are invited to receive the safety and the care and the love, the protection of the Good Shepherd. The gate to the sheep pen is left open, and Jesus calls all people in. He's calling our friends and our neighbors and our coworkers and even our little children into his care to be sheep in his flock. That's the theology of the gospel, the good news for all of us. Let's bring them in, Jesus says. They're mine. They're just not in this flock yet, but may the Lord bring them in. Amen? Amen. All right.